Well, in the first half, Harlan Williams in studio for lively, funny conversation. And we'll play a round of Will Harlan Eat It? And we'll do that right after this.
Do you think bananas are healthy? Think again. I'm Dr. Stephen Gundry, best-selling author of the Plant Paradox series. And on the Dr. Gundry podcast, you're going to learn the foods to eat and the ones to avoid to lose weight, boost your energy, and feel your most vibrant, active self this year. You'll also learn simple tips from the world's top experts on health and nutrition. Plus, you'll discover the truth about calories, how running could actually be hurting your health, and why fat won't make you fat. Subscribe now to the Dr. Gundry podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I'm Dr. Gundry, and I'm always looking out for you.
From Carolla Mun Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Harlan Williams. And now, a man who'd rather be dragged to a drug show than drug to a drag show. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A choice for the get on mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you, right, Harlan Williams?
That's right. Adam Carolla,
and,
if that's really your name.
Max Zapata.
Hey, guys.
Harlan.
Adam.
I always think about you and your dietary needs.
Oh, good. And it's about time.
I'd had some thoughts about coffee creamer.
Yeah.
And then I thought, knowing you, being in the yummy phase that you are,
yeah,
you probably don't drink coffee in general, but if you do, I would assume you'd go with the carnation caramel macchiata or the French vanilla in the coffee. I'm going to say no coffee, but when you do coffee, you go with the candy corn creamer.
You want to hear something? You might not believe me, but this is...
I believe everything you say.
I have never drank a coffee in my whole life.
I knew it.
I've had one sip by accident. I was shooting a scene in a little film, and it was a coffee cart scene. And I told the prop master, I said, don't put coffee in it. I've never had a coffee. I said, put Coke in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the coffee cup. I can't see through it. It's a paper coffee cup. I'm in the scene. I take the sip, and I just go... And I didn't want to blow the scene, so I swallowed the mouthful of coffee, and then I got him to put... That's the only time I've had coffee in my body my whole life.
Are you like Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or Shaker or Quaker? Like, is there some religious thing?
Did you say Quaker?
I said Quaker.
Are you cereal?
Yes, I am, Mr. Oates.
No, I just, you know, when I was a kid, and I was a kid once... And if you need a placenta sample, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the adults, I heard the aunts and the uncles and the mums and the dads going, oh, I gotta quit this coffee. Oh, I drink 5 cups a day. I gotta get off the coffee. Somebody stop the coffee. You know what I mean? So when I was a wee lad, I said, I'm never gonna drink it. I don't want that adult issue. And so I stayed true to that. I stayed true to my little junior vision, and I've never had a coffee.
Well, it worked then.
It worked.
Good. Lesson learned.
And now as an adult, it's all I hear from everybody. I got to stop the coffee. I got to stop the coffee. Although, can I tell you a story about coffee?
No. Yeah, although I do have... A thought about a common refrain at the Harlan Williams house as a young person.
Okay, lay it on me, Daddy Bucktooth.
Oh, the coffee. I hate the coffee. I got to get off the coffee. I need more pussy. Where's the pussy? Give me more pussy. I believe that's probably the conversation. And you took your marching orders in both directions.
Dude, don't say marching orders and don't do this because it was my parents, not Hitler, that raised me, all right?
Well, what's I was
this?
Doing, I was doing
coffee.
Mussolini, but all right.
So check it out. I go to Starbucks, which is a coffee place, but I'm a hot chocolate fanatic. I love
I
hot chocolate,
it.
Right?
I knew it.
So I go to, about 3 weeks ago, I go to Starbucks, and for the first time, I go to the drive-thru. Mm-hmm. Have you done the drive-through at Starbucks yet, little friend?
No, I haven't, Deputy Hound.
Well, I don't know why I did that.
But did you like it?
That's the biggest part of my childhood was... Was that Deputy Dog?
Droopy Dog.
Droopy Dog. That's right.
Yeah, so anyways, I go through the Starbucks drive-through, right? Mm-hmm. I order my drink at the speaker box. Mm-hmm. I drive around to pick it up, and before she gives me my hot chocolate, mm-hmm. she hands me a card reader and says, "Will you answer this questionnaire before I get you your drink?" And it says, "Would you like to tip?"
Mm.
Like $1, $2, $3, yes. $4. So now I'm feeling on the spot. It's just me and her in the rectangle. So I'm like, okay, I don't want her to spit in my hot chocolate or anything.
Right.
So I give her $1, and then this is what happens. Puts the card reader down, and she does this. Here comes my hot chocolate, right? Out the window, right, to me. Mm-hmm. And then my arm comes out the same distance and takes it the same distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I just did the exact same thing she did, but she got the tip. So when I went back yesterday, I pulled out a card reader. Yeah, I brought my own card reader.
Smart.
And made her tip me back.
Turnabout is fair play. I'm giving you a coaster. Not that I've told everyone here to hand out coasters 700,000 times, but because this desk, you know, is easily marred for your mug. So
I don't think this is a coaster, by the way. I think this is flat circular cork. If that's okay with
you. Well, as long as it gets in between the mug and the desk.
Yeah, but you're acting like this is like some kind of a sheen, like one color, like a black tabletop. This is probably an endangered giant sequoia stump or giant redwood.
It's distressed.
Distressed is the word. So if you see a ring from my stupid cup, I'm adding to the motif. I'm distressing it even more.
That just looks like a ring from a coffee mug.
So let's pack it away and stop forcing your corks on me there, Martha Stewart Jr.
Now we've gotten off to an auspicious start.
All right,
here.
I don't want to start a cork war. Remember Corky from Different Strokes or whatever her name was?
Sure, yeah, everyone loved him.
I'd like to lay Corky down.
Him.
It was a her. I'd like to lay Corky down and put
Wasn't
the mug
Corky
right on her
a
forehead.
Dude?
No, it was a girl.
Oh, wait a minute. She predated Dude Corky? Special Needs Corky?
Wasn't Corky the girl on the Facts of Life?
Okay. At a certain point, season 4, they always meet a special needs person.
They do. Always do.
But the whatever it was, Life as We Know It, or More Than a Handful, or whatever these 80s sitcoms are, had Corky, the special needs kid, as part of the cast.
Oh, okay. She was special needs?
He was special needs.
I thought it was a she, though.
No,
she
Corky,
was probably Facts of Life.
Corky's
I don't know.
Life goes on.
Corky.
Special needs. Corky's life
That's
goes on.
That's a dude, right?
Is it a girl?
Children, Paige, Rebecca, and Charles, who is known as Corky. Yeah, so Corky's Charles.
Oh, that's sort of cruel calling a special needs person Corky. I mean,
yeah,
you know, God bless. I have a sister with special needs, and it's like already.
I
you
do
know,
too. We should have them fight.
But already they're challenged in life, and you give them a name like the seventh dwarf or the eighth dwarf that didn't
make it. It's
also
too close to quirky. You know what I mean? Sounds like you're off.
Plus,
idiosyncratic.
You don't want a kid who's got a lower mental capacity and there's cork in their name, and the kids at school are throwing darts at them. I mean, it's just an invitation.
Yeah, like their cork board.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're almost asking
hey,
it to
Corky.
Be darted.
Yeah.
Do you have to make that noise when you... Oh, yeah, because... all right, let's get back
to... Thank you for sticking a dart in my head.
Oh, is that what Corky sounds like?
No, that's Droopy.
That
sounds like Corky, but it's Droopy.
The other thing is, as I was thinking about it...
Oh, God. Here we glow.
No, you were talking about tipping, and I found myself tipping the same thing. You order a cup of coffee at the hotel and they give you the thing with the space in it.
Yeah.
And you got to put something down. Even though you just paid $5 for a cup of coffee, you got to slip something in that open slot, right? But also, on the same weekend, I was walking around outside the hotel and a guy asked me if I had any change, you know, down and out guy.
Yeah.
My... I do not have change. I do not have loose dollar bills with me anymore. Everything's electronic, credit card, whatever. So the guys out on the street doing the panhandling, sleeping in the cold and eating out of the dumpster, their take has got to be down 86%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The person doing nothing, sitting in the air conditioning, getting $17 an hour, their take has gone up 126% in the tip department.
Oh, God.
Something's got to change.
Well, you know, it's even more infuriating. So I go from, you know, having to give a tip at the Starbucks drive-thru, and then I go over to Rite Aid to buy something. And by the way, Rite Aid, I get it how it works in America. We give little nicknames to everything, you know, McDonald's, Mickey D's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. Yeah. So I'm over at AIDS, and they give me my bill, and it's like $37.24.
Right.
And then the lady goes, "Oh, sir, would you like to level up and help the legless children of Tibet?"
Right.
A charity. And I'm like, "No.
Now,
quit putting pressure on me to be a good Samaritan. This is America. Nobody's a good Samaritan."
I'll say this. I will go along with them on the sort of round up premise, but every third time, we got to round down, bitch. Let's get down to $35 with your $37.44. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
We just keep rounding up. That's how your game goes. Right. I like a little down rounder.
Right? That's like me with my own card reader. Tip me back. I'm doing exact same work you're doing, Starbucks acne face.
Yeah.
Well, or whatever you call her.
Agreed. You watching football, Harlan?
Yeah, I watched yesterday. I watched the two playoff games.
All right, I need some rule changes.
Okay.
I got rule changes.
Yeah.
I already had the goalpost uprights raised. That was me.
What does that do, though? Like higher?
Yes, higher.
Why?
No, raised as an infant to a man. Raised like an Amish with a barn.
Yeah.
Raised, yeah, higher.
Wait, you mean, okay, so we got the pole.
Upright.
Then we got
cross
the flapper.
Bar.
So are you talking about raising the pole or raising the things on each
uprights.
Side?
Uprights. Everything's a pole.
So you're raising the whole thing?
No.
Not
raising the uprights.
The uprights.
Yes, raise them.
Why?
Because the ball would sail over the top of it and we wouldn't know if it was fair or foul.
He wanted to extend the poles, the vertical poles.
I don't know why, though.
Because the ball would go over the top, and we wouldn't know if it's fair or foul. What's a weird thing? Many years ago, I talked to Jimmy Kimmel about driving through red turn arrows. There was one at the top of our hill. And I kept saying to him, "The light's green, the arrow's red. Just turn left and just go up the hill." And he's like, "But the arrow's red." And I was like, "Yeah, but the light's green, so I couldn't get the concept pushed across."
There you go. That's what's happening to me right now.
Is not really being able to push a concept.
And you that's bring happening like a chalkboard now. With you or something. If you drew it out, he'd understand.
So wait, okay, I want to get this straight.
You will.
So let's say the crossbars hypothetically are 12 feet high.
All right.
You want to raise them to 18 feet high. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
So what's the diff? If the ball sails through,
for when it goes over the top of the upright, and you can't tell if it's fair or foul.
Oh, I see.
And
it's
been going over the top a lot more often because these kickers are getting really good.
Okay, got it.
Then we can't tell. So I got that part done.
Okay.
They called it the Adam Carolla rule,
they did.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
All right. I was just going to use that as a quick example so we could move on to the other stuff.
Yeah, but I got stunned. You stunned me.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, right, that's so not easy to
you're
do.
You're Canadian.
I know, but you stunned me. I went into epileptic shock or epileptic. What's the word?
Epileptic.
No, the
The mountain range?
No, there's the it's not
epicenter.
Appalachian shock.
No, there's epileptic shock, but there's a different type of shock. I'm looking for the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sort of palectic something.
It sounds
anaphylactic.
Right.
Yeah, is that it?
Yeah, apoplectic. There's apoplectic.
Score.
All right, let's just
continue. You just kicked the anaphylactic shock ball right through my.
It's good.
Erectile
let's
dysfunction.
Move forward here.
Okay.
All right. So, two rules I would like fixed.
Okay.
Now, remember, we already fixed the upright.
Well, sort of, but I got stunned by it, so...
It's difficult. Most people have difficulty with that concept.
I know, but you were like a Mack truck barreling down the 101 towards Bakersfield at 1 in the morning, and I was a white-tailed deer that ran out into the middle of the white line, and you just came right at me, and I froze. I locked up, player.
Well, as long as we're going to talk about possible head-on collisions, I did forget this story from The Road and Mike August.
Okay.
And then I'll circle back.
Okay.
To the football one.
Right.
Chris will feel me on this one.
Okay.
When we're done with the radio station at like 8:30 in the morning, we got into the rental car. This is Mike August, John Popper, Blues Traveler, and me. I tell John, take the front seat. He's half an inch taller than me. He's 50 pounds heavier. And he's a front seat dweller.
This is the Blues Traveler guy?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that guy. He's great for the front seat. That guy's great. A living airbag.
Perfect for the front seat.
Huge. He's a puffier than the Pillsbury Doughboy with the yeast.
He's down about 180 pounds from what you're picturing. But either
he's
way.
He's a big dude.
He's a marshmallow.
This was less safety and more respect for the man's ability.
Yeah. Come on.
So I gave him the front seat. Mike proceeded to start to leave the parking lot. Anyone who's driven with Mike understands this. Starts heading down a narrow road that's a one-way road.
Whoa.
And it's not the way we're going.
Figured.
And it ain't wide. It's a sort of get off the main highway, take this service road. It's only about 500 feet long and head into the parking lot. But it's a one-wayer.
It's one of those pretend you're in Europe for 40 seconds before you die. Yeah.
We immediately pull onto it and someone is immediately on us. Mm-hmm. And we have to come to a full stop.
Look out.
I'm explaining to Mike, back it out. Like, we're going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Mike says we have to go the wrong direction on this road so we can get back onto the freeway. I said, or we could just go the right direction and, like, circle around and get back. Not an option for Mike. So we start to get off the freeway, off this service road, and a guy stops. Now, to be fair to the good people who live in Dallas, he doesn't honk. He just keeps staring at us. And Mike maneuvers and maneuvers and maneuvers to let him squeak by. No woman I know would have ever tried it. And he's not honking. He's just trying to get by us because there's not enough room. And I'm just, Mike, just back it up 20 feet. Let him get by. No, we got to go through this. I know. But now another car pulls on the road.
I'm like, that's the right of way.
Mike, back it. Just back it out. Like, let him get through here. No, we get through this one guy. Now we come to the second guy where we're going. He doesn't honk either.
There's a
God
second
Dallas
car.
People.
Can I ask a technical question?
Mm-hmm.
The person in the second car, how tall were they? Did you get a chance to look?
Yeah, that guy was 5'11 and 13'16.
So the
with
second,
barefoot.
The second driver was small.
5'11 and 13'16.
So it wasn't Minnie Driver.
No. No, it's not the actress Minnie Driver. So Mike will not back out. The other guy then we have to come to a stop so this guy can thread his way out, and then we push our way out. Now, on I do more driving the wrong direction on highways than with Mike August than any person I've met in my life. So the next rule, the football rule.
Yeah.
Can we agree?
Where's the deer? I thought there was a deer coming into this story.
No.
Told us all that just to tell us some guy drove backwards?
I didn't say anyone hit a deer, huh?
Well, I said in my story, you came at me and I was a white-tailed deer. And
it reminded me of coming the wrong direction.
You just let the listeners down.
Well,
they were expecting a hoofed animal in this story.
What would it sound like if a deer was hit and dying by the side of the road?
I think I'm going to die now.
Droopy dog?
Droopy deer.
All right.
Get it right.
We are going to play Will Harlan Eat It as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We have to.
I think I just did eat it when you were staring in my eyes for about 40 seconds.
All right. One I've complained about. Probably both have complained about. It happened. It happened in the Bills game 2 weeks ago. It happened in the Cincy game over the weekend. This notion of we threw the guy a pass, he caught the ball, but the ball was moving around, but he never dropped the ball, and it never hit the ground, but it's not a catch because the ball was moving, like when he went out of bounds.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
then a lot of controversy about how to glean. Was it moving? Did he have control of it? Was it moving too much? When was it moving? Did he have both feet down and then it moved? Like, how about this? You just catch the ball or you don't catch the ball. How about that?
Yeah.
If the ball never hits the ground, doesn't matter how much it moves, you're moving 23 miles an hour, the ball's thrown into the night air, and you went up and snatched it.
Yeah.
We just call it a catch?
Well, yeah. This is the curse of the world of slow motion cameras.
Yes.
You know?
That's
right. There was a time when we didn't have that, and if it just sort of looked like a guy tucked it in, and yeah, that was it.
Yeah, this is the catch by
there
Chase, I guess. He's in the back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker's chasing him, throws the ball to him. He catches it. The ball moves around but never touches the ground. And then they were like, no catch. But he had the ball.
Yeah.
Both feet were touching.
Caught the ball, put both feet down, and then the ball started moving, but it's tucked in. You're taking away great plays. You're taking away spectacular plays because a ball that he ends up possessing and that never touches the ground is moving around within his possession.
I agree.
Just say either it hits the ground or it doesn't. If it doesn't hit the ground, who cares?
Are we watching football or interpretive dance?
That's
what
right.
I want to know. It's like, come on, let's go here. This isn't like Barnum and Bailey were watching clowns juggle a ball. It takes so much finesse to pluck that ball out of the air in the middle of Santa Claus blizzard, by the way. They're gonna finagle like a couple of little millimeters. And I know you prefer the metric system. That's why I said millimeters.
Yeah.
By the way, I have you ever been to Canada where they have the metric system?
I have.
I cannot figure it. I was up there 2 weekends ago. I went into a milk, a 7-Eleven. I bought 4 kilometers of milk.
That's too much milk.
Yeah. Holy God. Holy God.
Jesus.
And I walked. You know, it took me. I think
that's almost a mile of milk, or over a mile.
Yeah, it took me 477 millimeters just to get to the end of it. I spilled it all over
Christ.
The floor.
I know the worst is gas prices.
Gas? What do you mean?
You drive through Canada, and they're like, "Oh, it's $1.29." Yeah, but that's a liter.
Whatever,
and then you got to do 4 or 3.8 times like $1.29
turns
up being $6.50, and you're like, oh, it is super expensive.
Yeah.
I thought it was super cheap. Right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Who needs the metric system?
We don't need the metric system.
USA is the only place that still doesn't use it. I think everywhere else in the world uses it. Weirdsville, huh, guy?
Can I tell you about that?
Please do. That's why I kind of teed it up for you. I was hoping you'd go right into a whole metric rant.
I don't like to give Canada their due because I'm not a fan of Canada anymore.
Why not?
I don't like Justin Trudeau.
Oh,
I think he's a huge pussy, and he fucking locked everyone down and started the truckers. And Trudeau and Gavin Newsom are the same dude.
Mm-hmm.
They lock up everybody they oversee and lock down the society and shut everything, and then they start talking about totalitarian dictatorship, and they're like, that's what you're doing, dickhead. And then there's the guy with the huge novelty titties who's like the school teacher over there somewhere in Canada who's ironically a shop teacher, and they got no problem with him and his giant inflatable tits, but they have problems with everybody who drives a truck and like goes to work for a living. Trudeau's a huge pussy, and I think he's kind of dangerous. He's getting to that point where he's more pro totalitarian sort of lockdown regime than Newsom or the most progressive people in the United States are. But that aside,
what really bends it for me though is that he wraps it in this dainty persona where he talks so gently and he talks like he's putting a baby to bed.
Meanwhile,
he's like infringing on your rights.
If you don't have a vax card, he wants you locked down out of a job. And
he can, you know what he can do? He can go suck 4 kilometers of fresh 2% milk. How about that?
But I will say.
Say it.
The metric system makes sense.
Because it's more precise. It's closer to being exact than the system we have, and that's why it's used around the world. It's closer to being perfect.
It's incremental. The reason it makes sense is I used to work at a metric cabinet shop. I worked at a Euro cabinet shop, and I had to learn the metric system.
Oh, how are your fingers?
They smell. Mm-hmm. My cuticles.
Yeah, I bet they stink like leaders.
The thing about SAE or standard or what we use in America
right.
is when you get a wrench.
Right, and I will.
and a half inch is like too small,
uh-huh.
then That's someone the goes, said. Well, maybe you should do a 9/16 or step up to 5/8. Or you could do 3/4, or you could do 11/32 or whatever. You're all over the fucking map.
There you go.
Metric, you grab that wrench, boom. 10 millimeter too small,
yeah.
get an 11.
Mm-hmm.
11 too small, get a 12. It's just incremental. It just goes
Dude,
right
I
up.
I couldn't have said it any better, what you just said. I couldn't have even said it one syllable or word or letter
really?
Better. Yeah, way to go.
Yeah.
Cheers. Do you have a glass?
Yeah, I have
cheers
a
Cheers me, bro.
Are we going to cheer it?
Cheers my
cheers
half liter
off.
Of liquid.
Yes. So, one. You drinking Swiss Miss or what do you got?
Yeah.
There? One.
Apple juice.
Yodelole.
One is NFL rules.
Yeah.
You catch the ball. If it doesn't hit the ground, it's a catch. I don't give a fuck if you're out of bounds and the ball's bobbling around.
Yeah,
I don't,
if it's on your person, as long as it doesn't
you
touch
caught it,
terra
your feet
firma.
Were in bounds,
yep.
that's a catch.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, you end up out of bounds, stop the clock. I'm so tired of the stop momentum and the guy
yeah.
gets thrown out of bounds. Like, stop the, don't wind it. You got hit, you stopped. And then you went out of bounds. You went out of bounds.
Well, you know That's what else it. I hate? They got to have this thing now. I like it when to score a point or get a first down, your damn feet have to be over the line.
Yes.
Not your arm. You don't
no.
get an extra 3.5 feet. You
yes.
don't get to Batman it out there.
I agree.
Like, don't give me the draft neck. I want to see.
I wish that bitch at the Starbucks had gone full extension
right?
with
yeah.
you and your cocoa.
then I would have given her a real tip.
Yeah. No, there's two things. They got rid of the rule where your fat offensive lineman couldn't push you ahead anymore.
Yeah,
so
what's
now they
that?
Push you ahead and you hold the ball out. And
it's lame.
Yeah, I end up in the end zone.
Because if you watch like Australian rules rugby or any of those, like those are rugged sports. Those
mm-hmm.
guys have to fly over that line. They can't
mm-hmm.
just stick their arm over. They got to get their whole body across.
Agreed.
My
All right,
favorite
let's
air freshener.
Take a break. We have Will Harlan eat it, and we'll do that right after this.
We want to thank everyone who joined us in Dallas, Texas for the first ever Working Blue with Adam Carolla and John Popper.
It was amazing.
John was great. Adam's always great.
It was a great show. It was awesome. We had a great time.
I cried like it was a fucking opera. I swear to God. Like, that's the only other time I've cried in a live performance, but John Popper has, like, my heart.
That show was exactly what I wanted, exactly as I needed. Fantastic. Had a great time.
Popper and Carolla together, didn't get any better.
Well, thank you for joining us. Get ready for the next big thing. Coming soon with the Adam Carolla Show.
I took a bath. Sir, if you could just look away. I took a bath. I soaked for an hour and 20 minutes. Okay, I get out of the bath. I'm standing there naked. Sir, if you could just picture me naked right now. I'm standing there naked. I look at my fingertips. They're prune wrinkled. I got prune wrinkled fingertips, okay? And instead of drying off and going on my merry way, I took my prune wrinkled fingertips and I started touching myself all over my naked body and pretended I was being molested by an 87-year-old pervert. Benjamin Buttons, is that you? What? Why? Why?
Harlan Williams on the Adam Carolla Show.
Harlan, who last time I saw him do stand-up, just crushed it at the improv, and I'm sure I told you about
it. Oh, yeah, that
I
was
missed
your special night there.
Yeah, so good on you.
Thanks,
we did another
buddy.
One a month later. It was great. They've all been great. So come back and,
yeah,
and
man,
do more.
I had a royal blast, if I can say that.
No. All right, so we have Will Harlan eat it. Because, see, I already kind of knew in advance when I was asking you about your coffee consumption.
Yeah.
I knew you didn't drink coffee.
You did? How'd you know? We've never had that talk before. Even when we go camping, we don't talk about that stuff.
I know. When I'm putting a pot on over the open fire, yeah. I know you don't want any. Huh. A coffee is, because there's certain things that I always said. I talk about the yummy phase. You're a little bit all over the road. But yeah. But the yummy phase is that people don't like coffee when they're in the yummy phase, and they like cocoa, you know what I mean? And they don't want straight brandy, neat, you know, they want a pina colada, you know, when they get an alcohol drink. Like it's essentially what a kid would like.
Okay.
So that's usually how I can do the math. But you have range.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to play the game.
I have an interesting palate, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What'd you do for breakfast this morning?
This morning?
Fruity Bam Bams?
Excuse you? Wow.
What'd you do? What kind of insane breakfast cereal did
some
you have?
I had some pancakes, some flapjacks this morning.
Pancakes?
Yeah. And
frozen?
No, I was at a hotel, and they made me a little stack, they call it a short stack.
Uh-huh.
And it's not because there's not too many, but my waitress was Minnie Driver, so yeah.
So
twice I got her in there.
You did pancakes
twice.
And what?
Pancakes and some toast with grape jelly on it.
Kids love carbs.
And some bacon. Gotta have bacon.
That's all yummy. That's yummy phase.
Yeah.
That's a yummy phase breakfast right there.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
What was the last thing you've cooked yourself?
Lamb chops. I'm actually good. I'm not a good cook, but I can make lamb chops pretty good. And I've converted a bunch of friends because... you ever ask people if a lot of people go, I don't like lamb. It's gamey. I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me cook you some lamb. Mm-hmm. And I convert everyone I make lamb chops for, I convert them.
Yeah.
I'm sure
the lamb population is eternally grateful that you've gotten all these hack comedians to now consume. I mean, your friends, sorry.
You know,
to consume.
Get the New Zealand Tourism Board on line seven because this guy's about to be canceled.
All right. So there I go. There you go. That's the diversity of Harlan Williams' palate, lamb chops and. All right, so who has these? Dawson, do you have some of these?
Oh, God.
It's time to play Will Harlan Eat It, the game that answers the question, Will Harlan Eat It? First up, beef jerky.
Don't answer.
Will Harlan Eat It?
Now, if he eats any jerky, it'll be beef jerky. And, you know, the teriyaki stuff is pretty sweet.
Sweet, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's.
Can I give you a hint? They'll help you find the answer.
I don't know. I don't know if we need one.
Okay.
All right. I have an answer. I think it's yes because teriyaki's sweet. He's on the road a lot. Gas station foods and convenience store foods. He's probably come across so many different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Beef jerky is like the best thing you can get at a gas station. I think.
Yeah. I would tend to say yes. As well. He does eat beef jerky.
Is that your answer?
Yes, Clint.
Bingo. You know what I do? I buy the Slim Jims. And I'm such a Clint Eastwood fan. The old Westerns for a few dollars more is my favorite and his best spaghetti Western. And I don't eat the Slim Jims. I keep them in my mouth like a cigar.
Right.
And they get sort of soggy, and after about half an hour, the saliva, the enzymes in my Komodo dragon saliva wear the flesh down.
You're making me hot.
But I drive around in my car kind of glaring at people. Get the fuck out of my lane, asshole. And I got my thing. And sometimes I even do this. I can pretend I'm smoking it. And I'm not even joking.
But you don't eat beef jerky.
I will.
You will. Okay.
I will. And I was at a truck stop in Florida where they had kangaroo jerky and they had alligator jerky. They had all these weird jerkies.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought them. And guess what? They all taste exactly the same because jerky is basically pink salt in a bag.
Right. Yes.
So
that's right.
Have you ever gone out into a field and got with the cows and just started licking a blue salt lick?
No.
You know those big salt licks they put in the field? You just go up and just start licking them? Yeah, that's a jerky in a bag, guy.
All right, so we're one for one, Chris.
Yeah.
All right.
But I was going to give you the Clint Eastwood clue, but...
No. We got it.
You don't need clues.
That wouldn't have helped.
White chocolate. Will Harlan eat it?
Mm.
First of all, racist.
Yeah. That was his gay porn name, by the way. All right. White chocolate. I feel like kids would eat white chocolate because it's just sweeter chocolate with less flavor of chocolate. It just sort of has a consistency of chocolate. And it's just sort of sweet. I don't have a beef with it. I never signed off on the white chocolate Easter bunnies that started showing up sometime in the 70s. I was like, well, I'll eat the chocolate one. It's once a year. We don't need to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kind of thing where it's sugar laden, it has a consistency of chocolate. I would say my take is that Harlan won't seek it out, but he will eat it. I say yes. Chris?
I say he will not eat white chocolate because there's other chocolates available. Typically, when you find white chocolate, there is a milk chocolate also around.
Well, he wouldn't buy it, but he would eat it. That's my argument.
I think it's – I still say no. I think white chocolate disgusts him.
All right.
If I'm hanging out in a windmill in Holland, I will suck me down a bag of white chocolate. So, yes, I eat it periodically. You were right, and you were sort of right. I don't seek it out. But if somehow it kind of plops into my lap, every now and then I'll buy the Hershey's cookies and cream, which is sort of white chocolate. But pure white chocolate, every now and then. On a scale of 1 to 10, regular chocolate being 100, I've probably eaten white chocolate like at a 2 in my life. But I'm not gonna run down the hall and light myself on fire if someone offers me something.
Exactly as I'd pictured you in your white chocolate relationship, Harlan. All right.
And I did by accident once eat a butter carving of Willie Nelson. I thought it was white chocolate.
Really?
I was at a state fair and they had Willie Nelson. He was eating a piece of key lime pie, a great piece of artwork, and I devoured it. And
really?
After I finished it, said butter. It was butter. And I was like, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And found out after the fact.
Well, that's the
But we've all been there.
You have? You've probably eaten Willie Nelson.
Well, not Willie Nelson, but Hank Williams Jr.
You look like you've eaten Willie Nelson. And when I say eaten, like spread eagle on the back of his tour bus, just right between his legs, sniffing his calamari hole.
I've been on his tour bus.
Bingo. I'm right. I may eat white chocolate, but you eat old soggy fucking country stars. How about
By the
that?
Way, his tour bus didn't smell like somebody spilled a bong. It smelled like someone put an M80 in a bong. That's what his
it
tour bus smells
smell like.
It also smelled
like, you know, Rebel Wilson spent all night at the Taco Bell drive-thru and ate one too many gorditas in the bathroom.
All right, sorry. Where were we?
A single stick of celery. Will Harlan eat it?
This is healthy.
It's healthy. It's stringy. Texture's weird. I could see him taking the substance that he knows is peanut butter and filling up the trough with it.
A
and
ranch.
Then maybe dipping it in ranch. But minus the ranch, minus the peanut butter, I don't think so, although it doesn't mean that he wouldn't, but I'll say he wouldn't. He just would not do it.
I think he would because he cooks lamb. Usually when you cook lamb, you want a side of vegetables. You throw other things into the oven with it and make a nice little veggie medley, and I think celery would be a part of it. So I think he could eat some celery.
Dude, it's scary how well you know me.
Adam,
I don't put peanut butter in it, but I put Cheese Whiz in it. I will not eat celery unless I fill the trough, as
you put it,
with Cheese Whiz.
I knew it.
It's delicious.
I know.
Cheese Whiz is like a petroleum-based, I think it's woolly mammoth bone marrow or something.
Yes.
But I will chow it down if there's Cheese Whiz in it.
I know you. Listen, yeah. I spent
he knows me.
Yeah,
I spent 80 seconds in Harlan's kitchen last time I was at his house, and I was like an FBI profiler, you know, like pulling tight on a cereal box, tight on a Pop-Tart wrapper. It's like I had painted a very like Silence of the Lambs picture.
I know.
Just profiled, like immediately.
Like a tracker.
I didn't have to look through your garbage or follow you around for a day.
My bedroom is padded with blueberry Pop-Tarts, frosted, you know something's amiss.
There's a question up here for you about puppy dog pals.
Okay.
Dion wants to ask. Dion, 39.
What's up, guys? Yeah, puppy dog pals. My kids watch it. It plays like probably multiple times a day. It's a big hit. And I want to know, at the beginning of every show, it says created by Harlan Williams. Are you, like, hooked up for life? Did Disney, are you, like, loaded? Or do you get paid every time I buy a puppy dog pals toy? do you get into Disneyland for free? Like, how did that deal go? You don't have to give specifics, but, you know, it's a big hit.
Well, let's just say Puppy Dog Pals is a show that I created for Disney. It plays in over 130 countries around the world.
Wow.
When I go into Walmart, Target, or any Disney store, there are stuffed toys and games and dog houses and merchandise of my show, all the characters. And these types of cartoons usually only get about two seasons on Disney. We're on our fifth season right now. So I'm not going to answer how well I'm doing, but if you're around later, I'll come over in my Rolls Royce and we can chat. How's that?
All right, cool. Well, it's a great show. I think everyone should watch.
I don't think he's doing that well because I pitched an animated thing to Disney a million years ago.
I saw it. You showed part of it to me here, and I tried to give you notes on it, and you were like, get out of go eat some celery, asshole. And little did you know, I'm animation guy. You should have listened to me.
No, it wasn't that. I never made it. I think I pitched Dingo Boy to them. And,
Dingo Boy?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the cousin of Dingleberry?
It would have been a hit.
Well, you know what's amazing to me? When I pitched Puppy Dog Pals, we got it set up. It took us a few years to develop it. We got green lit. We opened the studio. We started doing it. And one of the executives wanted to take me for lunch. And we're sitting at lunch. He goes, Harlan, do you know that Disney has never done a TV cartoon with dogs? They said, yours is the friend. And I went, wait, what? No. And then I went, 101 Dalmatians, Lady in the Tramp. These are all movies. And I thought, oh, my God. I sort of knew right then and there, Disney plus puppies plus cute. And I said to my showrunner at the time, I said, I think we're going to get 5 years out of this. He goes, no, they only let you do two. It's these little kid shows. And here we are, 5 years.
Mazel tov, my friend.
No, thanks. I'm straight.
They'd never done a film about someone who was half dingo and half human either, but that didn't help me. But they offered some insultingly insane low amount of money, and I just remember we didn't do it.
Well, what you have to do is override that and look at the bigger picture.
Because I should have.
This is what they do because you're taking them a concept and they have to put a lot of money into development. So what you're looking at is the long game where your products show up in stores and are in countries all over the world. And because it's Disney, you have to put faith in them that they have a high probability of making it a commercial hit. And so you have to put your eggs into that basket and go, okay, they're only paying me $2 out the door, but if Disney, being the best at animation in the world, pretty much nearly the creators of animation, the long game is let's see if they can project it out into the universe and keep it running. So you kind of have to hang on to a vision when you're doing that.
Do we have a theme for Puppy Dog Pals?
Is there a theme song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Puppy dog pals. Yeah, it's a great little catchy tune.
Let's hear that.
Yeah, it's a great.
Did you get one of those Bare Naked Ladies to ride it?
You know what? Me and my cousin, who is in the Bare Naked Ladies, we did write some renditions of it and submitted them. And this is the final catchy little tune that they came up with.
Bingo and rolling, couple of puppies. They're barkages and chew. And there's a guy named Bob.
That's me.
Some inventions a couple puppies can use. But when Bob's away.
See you later, pups.
The pups we play. On a mission around the world, trying to save the day. Puppy dog house. Puppy dog.
Ooh, scratching.
See you later, pups.
Wow.
You know, it's funny great. That if you go online, there's a video. Some guy did a mashup of that theme song from all over the world, and I watched it, and so there's like 70 versions of, because I do the voice of Bob, the owner of the,
oh,
of the
right.
That, so that's me, and then I see my, Igloshka de Vashiken Poppins, you know, it's like, I saw all these different languages doing my
crazy
line there, and it was
you have
hilarious.
Arrived. That's yeah. Your legacy.
Well, yeah, Disney was talking about making them legacy characters, too, which is a huge honor, which means they'd be up there with the likes of Winnie the Pooh and,
wow.
And Jiminy Cricket. They've been talking about doing that. It hasn't been done yet, but they said they're looking into doing that. So that could be cool. Yeah. You know, the real sweet spot for me is I studied animation in college.
I remember this. In Germany?
No, in Canada.
But then you went to
Germany and did some computer animation there.
Well, you could have given me half a point.
I'll give you half.
Okay.
I'll give you a millimeter.
Go ahead.
But what happened is I was sort of the rebel in my animation college. I was mm-hmm. the guy that went against the grain, and they were pretty much forcing all the students to do Disney stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you had to draw Bugs Bunny, you had to do Daffy mm-hmm. Duck, Mickey mm-hmm. Mouse, Donald, mm-hmm. and I was doing, like, my own characters with onion rings coming out of their eyes, and my professors would sit me down and say, you can't do this, this doesn't work, and I said to them, I said, guys, animation, half of that world is about imagination. Half mm-hmm. of the process is to come up with crazy. It's an art form where if you want an elephant to float upside down and turn into a toothbrush and then start eating dinosaurs, you can draw that.
Right.
And I said, that's what I infuse into the process. And they just kind of, they tried to fail me. I was one of the top students who got all the assignments done. They tried to fail me. And I had to go in and fight for a C. And then to turn around and be the only student to come out of there and have his own top Disney show, it's such sweet justice, yeah. I gotta say.
So who was this you're fighting for?
What do you mean?
You said you had to go in there and fight for a C.
So my
oh,
teachers,
grade.
My
grade
teachers,
wise.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We had an
confused.
Assignment in second year where the assignment was we had to finish a 2 to 3 minute long, completely colored animated film that we wrote and drew and did everything for. And me and my buddy were the only guys in the class that finished it. But my film was so crazy, they tried to fail me. And so I had to go in and say, how dare you? I stayed here every night till 10 o'clock.
They didn't get your genius or your brilliance.
I don't know if I have genius or brilliance, but I have drive and I have vision. And to come back around and have this happen, it's really like, never give up, kids.
Yeah.
Never give up, children. You too, Corky.
You want to hear the theme to Dingo Boy?
Okay, yes, please.
Well,
yes.
I mean, that's...
No, I'm saying it because I'm sort of like, it's erotic to me. I was like, yes, please.
Found by wild dingoes in the outback they lived in. His parents had been murdered. Now dingoes are his kin. Dingoes taught him hunting, and dingoes taught him pride. Dingoes made him diapers out of gopher hide. Run, run, dingo boy. Ha, ha. Run, run, dingo boy. Dingo boy. Oh. Run, run, dingo boy.
I'll see you later, mate.
He grew into adulthood. His memory drifted back. His human nature told him it's time to leave the pack. He searches every city, Melbourne, Queenstown, and Perth, to find his parents' killers and put them in the earth. Run, run, dingo boy. Ha, ha. See, it tells a story.
Yeah. See, is that saying? Dingo boy?
I have no idea what
that looks like.
Is.
Chewbacca just got a hemorrhoid. Holy God.
Well yeah, Adam, so Harlan is now like a guru for animated shows. He's obviously knows a lot about them. What was like an episode that you had in mind? And let's see how Harlan can improve it.
We played
like the old radio that's
version.
Not a kid's show, was it? Or
yeah, no. Was this a kid's show or was this like a Cartoon Network like college stoner show? It sounds like Dingo Boy.
I think it was a little more Adult Swim.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But I could steer it toward the kids. It was basically the Incredible Hulk meets
Dingo.
No, Kung Fu, which is like his guy roamed looking for the people who murdered his parents, and then would have adventures along the way.
Can we play the?
We do have the theme song to Dingo Boy.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So it's not much different than what I did. Let's see.
It's a bit long.
Wild dingoes in the outback they lived in. His parents had been murdered, and now dingoes are his kin. Dingoes taught him hunting, and dingoes taught him pride. Dingoes made his diapers out of gopher hide. Run, run, dingo boy. Run, run, dingo boy. Dingo boy. Dingo boy.
Love that theme song.
Thank you. Do you like it?
Yeah, I love that theme song.
Who's singing that? That
We did it as a sketch when I was with Acme, and we used to kind of they'd sing it live on stage, and I played Dingo Boy.
Yeah.
And then later on, when it got moved to K-Rock, what Jimmy would do is he would call in Cleto, who's his band leader now. Cleto knew session musicians and singers and stuff like that, and he would just invite them over to K-Rock at 10:30 in the morning after we were done with Kevin and Bean, and I'd hand out the lyrics or whatever, and they would sing it and play it and do it. So I don't remember, but I do remember Jimmy Cleto, saxophonist, singer, and all his session guys. A lot of those guys are comprised Jimmy's band now in his late night show. Toshi, the
guitarist.
Japanese guitarist guy. Yeah, he used to hang out, and Cleto would just wrangle all those guys.
Yeah.
All right, should we do one more with Harlan?
We
digressed, Harlan.
That's all right.
Wait a minute, am I up?
Yes, you're up 3-1.
3-1.
Wow. I didn't realize this was like a competition. Okay.
Everything's a competition.
So I'm kind of in control who wins here.
Mm-hmm. You really are.
Okay.
Lucky Charms. Will Harlan eat it?
Oh, yeah. That's,
he absolutely will.
That's affirmative.
Lucky Charms.
That's 100% affirmative. He probably has some in his car.
Some in his teeth.
Yes, I love Lucky Charms.
You have to.
Yeah, and you know what's cool? Now they have those little, they've got the little bowl size ones now. You can find them at like the gas stations and stuff. Because before you had to commit to the whole box.
Right.
And if you eat a whole box, suddenly you're not feeling so lucky. You wish you were on the back of Willie Nelson's tour bus, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But okay, now they got the little ones.
Pretty fab.
Yeah.
Add a few kilos of, a few kilometers of milk
yeah.
and just eat
that.
It right out in the car.
But I want to know what those Lucky Charms are made of, the marshmallow bits, because those are nowhere near a real marshmallow.
Not as we know them.
They taste like rolled up psoriasis crisps or something, you know, like something's weird.
They came out with ones that were all marshmallows. Would you eat that?
No, that'd just be like, you might as well just go pour a bag of sugar down your throat, right?
Pretty soon, they're going to have blue diamonds and rainbows, blue diamonds,
silver moons,
and gay flags. Right? I mean,
well, they already got the little rainbows in there.
But I think we're going full gay flag, like in a few years.
Yeah, maybe.
We're getting there with everyone jumping in.
Can you imagine that little leprechaun? You know, he just wants to get over the rainbow and he gets to the other side and there's four guys in a hot tub.
Oh, with the gay flag celebrating.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it, but the poor little guy might not be ready for it.
Yeah.
He's got his green leotards on and he might not know how to adapt, you know?
No, I never really looked at it through his eyes.
Oh, okay, well, maybe you should start caring more because he's a small little guy, and you know who he's dating? Mini Driver. There's number three. There's
all
number
right. Well,
three.
I just won. I won.
But
that
I
game.
Won the okay. Mini Driver game.
That's true.
You weren't even in the arena, guy. You can go suck a milliliter of milk.
Let's get off the metric. We'll take a break. We got more right after this.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.